Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
FSU Pistols and Pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Welcome in, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. This would be Civil Headlines. Good to be with you. It is for the first time that we are with you after a result. We got a game, boys. We got a game to reflect on. That's good news.
A different kind of result because, man, everywhere I've gone in town since that football game, people are fired up about this football team. I think the expectations must have been so low that people are like, wait a minute, they competed. And, like, they tried.
Had a chance to win.
And came back and showed a little fight, little heart, and coming back like they did was something we hadn't seen in a minute.
I guess the somebody within the program, not one of the coaches, but somebody in the program asked me, hey, man, have you ever seen, like, fans give an ovation for the team after a loss? And I was like, I don't think so, but they did that night. And then people around town, just everybody's talking about how excited they are about Florida State football, and it's been a minute. So
I was at a gas station moments ago. You'd have been petrified.
Just interrupt you. Did you watch our rap video?
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning. His head's on a swivel.
Well, you gotta be, man. Who knows what's coming?
I just pictured you at the parking lot now of a gas station.
Let's do our next live our next post game at one of these death traps. Tallahassee.
Growing up on the Carter Boulevard. It created some issues for you, man. Some trust issues.
Well, absolutely, it did.
No, I was laughing a bit as I thought of you while I was at the gas station.
Daytime, right?
Broad daylight.
Okay,
just now.
That's the time to do it.
Yeah. I also noticed his head on a swivel. I'm like, man, they're just cleaning up around the place. It's going to be all right.
Well,
a couple
some
drunken
of
students walking by. Nobody's trying to jack you after the game here. But that said, as I was leaving the gas station, this guy said, "Oh, hey, you're the radio guy," and I went, "That's me. I'm the radio guy." And he goes, "They didn't look real bad, did they? They look pretty good." I was like, you could just hear it in his voice. I was like, "Yeah, they did look pretty good, didn't they?" He's like, "Yeah, all right." That's all it was. So I do think there was a breath of fresh air, a sigh of relief, if you will. It's funny because you got a vocal group that thinks every team that Florida State fields is going to go 10-2, 11-1 every year. But I think that's just online. I think that by and large, the silent majority kind of really went into that game going, well, we'll see, boys. I don't know. Because it's been tough sledding. And at 38-20, that place didn't empty. And you and I made the point yesterday. I think everybody was shocked to see that. And I was there. I was watching that student section very closely. I was looking around thinking, all right, let's see what happens now, because they started to look a little inept, like they were in quicksand a little bit. And then next thing you know, they fight, they come down, they score, they get the two-point conversion. Crowd gets back into it. That's the other part of the story, is that was, I know you wrote about it, Corey, on warchant.com. That was another thing. It was a sight for sore eyes and certainly a wonderful sound for the ears to hear. The fans into it before the game, during the game, at the appropriate spots. After the game, I mean, it was an electric atmosphere, one that we had hoped we'd see, but that team provided that because of that fight.
Especially, I thought, it was pretty loud the whole game, but especially after they cut it to 38-35, Milton had just given the crowd even more juice than it had, and then it's third down and long, and that place was jumping around like it was Camp Randall. You know what I mean? It was like it was Inner Sandman type stuff. That place, yeah, I don't know, maybe the Oklahoma game, maybe the Notre Dame game from 14. There hadn't been many moments in the last decade. In 13, they were just up by so much, it didn't really matter. But there hadn't been many moments in the last decade where that place felt that loud and that electric. And to have that kind of showing on national TV, I know you lost, but to have that kind of showing with those recruits in that stadium where you don't have to point to 2014 and say, hey, look what Doak can be when you're rocking again. They experienced it. They don't have to go watch something on YouTube to see Doak Campbell Stadium rocking and energized and electric. They saw it firsthand. That speaks volumes.
Let's circle back for just a second here. He could put the phone there.
I can't. It screws with my audio. I can't hear.
Okay,
is it really?
Yeah. That's why every time you put your phone out, I thought
he was just being a crab. I know. You're like, what is this guy doing?
I thought I'd made that abundantly clear the last two shows.
This doesn't tell me anything.
No, the last two shows when you've done it and I've asked you to move.
You've just done this.
Right.
I don't know what
people think. I'm just distracted by a phone.
Good thing we're live and we're not recorded like back in the day because we're using some different language right now.
So the bottom line is, let's circle back to what led up to all of this, which was.
Yeah, I'm going to put my phone next to yours. Where's yours?
It's hidden over the right corner. You can't do it. You can't do it. So we have a great night on Friday night at Horizons, obviously, and everybody comes out, and that was really cool to see. And the Register Sausage shirts were amazing, by the way.
Stephanie wore hers to the game on Sunday. Yeah, the Yay Sausage.
I didn't get one, by the way. I didn't get one.
And Mike put the Register Sausage in the mac and cheese bites.
Forget about it.
Good stuff, man. It was great.
And Heather Birch
I got to meet her.
Yeah,
we're best friends now.
Yeah. So we all had a great time. And then, of course, on Saturday, we were at Corner Pocket, listener appreciation party, and really kind of kick off to the year. That was fantastic. Everybody was great there, and it was nice to see everybody. We watched some football. Watch Alabama hammer Miami, and we'll see if the Canes quit. They're on quit watch.
That's tough, though. Hopefully they understand what they – well, not
no,
hopefully.
No,
you want them to think, oh, we're terrible.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing, yeah. So – they're on quit watch.
That doesn't usually come in early September, though. No. They're ahead of schedule.
Yeah. So, but then the buildup was, and it seemed interminable, but we had to wait till Sunday night, and then the game happened. And I thought you could tell, even though they score on a busted play on fourth down in the first drive, I thought just the opening couple tackles, guys weren't catching tackles.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, you were like, okay, they're here to hit. And Jermaine Johnson made a difference immediately. The second you saw him, you go, well, that's different. I mean, there were indicators, even though that led to 7 points pretty quickly, you thought, all right. But then they did get the test that I'd been begging for, which was, what happens when something goes wrong? Well, something went wrong in a hurry. Their offense was horrible to start. They looked like Mickey Mouse, just little kids out there getting blown up with screens and draws and nonsense. And Notre Dame is flying around. It's fourth down. You're punting from your freaking end zone right off the bat. It's a bad snap.
Yeah.
Homeboy.
Oh, man, that was a great play.
I'm like, listen, what are we doing out here? This is hideous.
Mastromano, that was a
great play. Athletic. Yeah. He's an athlete back there.
So all of it could go wrong. You're down 7. Notre Dame's got good field position. You looked terrible on offense.
Yeah.
You're staring it right in the face right here right now, and this team was not last year's team or the year before. They were F that, we're gonna play, let's go. And then I kind of breathed a sigh of relief, and then really the rest of the game,
well,
the fight was
even
apparent.
Then that moment, I'm gonna test out that cough button one of these times. I want to see. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Well, the cough button's ridiculous, it doesn't work. So that moment, and then the 38-20 moment. You know, when it got 38-20, I'm like, okay, this is going to be 52-20, and we're going to try to sell that they made some big improvements, because I thought they had. I thought it looked different. But it still looked like it was going to be 45 or 52-20 or 52-27. And then for them to come back and have that drive, Jordan Travis to have that drive to cut it to 10 to get the stop, and then I that was really encouraging, too, to see them bounce back from that, because that's when a game gets out of hand. The momentum clearly was on Notre Dame's side. Florida State just gave up 3 straight touchdowns, and you're like, okay, well, that's a wrap. It was cool for 2.5 quarters, but clearly the better team is taking control of this game. And afterwards, I'm not sure. I'm not sure who the better team was.
Oh, like, I am. Notre Dame's the better team.
Florida State gave them some stuff, though. It wasn't as if Florida State played incredibly and Notre Dame played terribly, and that's what happened. If Jack Cohn doesn't have the game of his life. By the way, good job there calling that. He's a right-handed Hornibrook, huh?
He's not a very good player.
I mean, he was Sunday night.
He had a good game. He made one great throw.
He was fine. He didn't make any bad throws, and he had two drops.
He should have been picked off early with Ben. He should have been picked. There was two.
Here he goes. So you're saying that Cohn wasn't good on Sunday night?
He was good on Sunday night.
All right, well,
I granted that. Do you think Cohn's a good quarterback?
We'll see.
Do you think Cohn's a good quarterback?
Yes, from what I've seen.
So let's see who wins this bet by the end of the season. Let's go, prisoner of the moment. Let's go.
Because that is going to be a downside, is he's not going to play that well
he
the rest of the season.
He won't play that well the rest of the season.
That was kind of my point, is that Florida State didn't play overly well, I thought. Certainly not on offense. They gave away a lot, and then they had 3 interceptions. They had 9 penalties. Cohn had the game of his life, and still it went to overtime. So I think Notre Dame, talent for talent, is better.
You know they are.
But I think that 7 points is about right. Like, I don't think they're 20 points better or 28 points better like they were last year. I know the score was 16, but last year it felt like they were 28 to 30 points better. I didn't feel like that at all on Sunday night.
Go make your point, Ira, because I want to retort to this.
Well, I was just going to say that if Florida State had played like an A game and Notre Dame played the way they did, yeah, Florida State would have won the game. But Florida State couldn't win that game without playing at a real high level, whereas Notre Dame could win it with not playing their best game.
Yeah, but so y'all thought Florida State played at a high level?
No. I thought they
would have won. They almost won the game despite it.
I'm saying if both teams played at a high level, Notre Dame wins.
Sure.
I think Florida State would have had to play almost, not a perfect game. This isn't USF in 2009 or whatever.
Yeah, you're not BJ Daniels. I mean, you got to play, absolutely.
But they would have had to play at all, a really, really high level, and Notre Dame play a little bit below what they could play.
I picked Notre Dame under their win total this year because I thought they'd take a step back. But I think in the draft we'll bear this out. They have better players than Florida State. There's no question they do. And they've had continuity at the head coaching position. So the only thing I would say to you is that I really believe at 38-20, Notre Dame made a terrible decision. And they went soft, and they played a soft front. And the credit goes to Florida State's coaching staff
for taking it
and running the ball and not panicking, trying to get points too quickly. They recognized, you want to play off with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter?
Yeah.
We'll run the ball now, and we'll go down and score, and, we'll chip away. And then what happened was once Florida State got back in it, I would even dare say it within 10. Now Notre Dame's got to get some first downs. Well, they can't run the ball.
Right.
They can't run the ball, and that's another area where Florida State's improved immensely. They could not run against the Florida State front four. So now all of a sudden, your ability to run out the clock, which was what the goal was when you were playing soft, because you're allowing yards. You want a long drive. You want Florida State to go on a 7-minute drive, and if they score, they score. But whatever, now we're deep into the fourth quarter, you're in trouble. Well, the problem is Florida State scores, and then they have to give it right back three and out because they can't run the ball at all. And that's where Florida State's gotten a lot better. I think better
than any of us could have imagined,
sure,
I think.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And when the game pressure started, Cone got worse.
He did.
Last sack he took, I think it was his last sack. I mean, he looked like me, just like
– He went into a shell. Yeah. I think that's the way he'll look often this year. But anyhow, that said, he played a good game. I'm not going to deny that. He made a dime of a throw in the back right corner. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a great
throw.
And the ones down the sideline, the one in the end zone where Travis Shea overran it,
that's just a bad throw. He underthrew it.
The one that beat Brownlee for like a 30 or 35 yard play. He put it in a perfect. He made a couple incredible throws. He seemed to always find that tight end. The tight end dropped two that. It wouldn't have even gone to overtime if that kid had caught those two balls.
Imagine if he had. He would have had, 11 catches for nearly 200 yards at
like
that point?
Heath Miller up
He is considered
the top
two or three tight end in the country.
Butterfingers is what I call him.
Well, because Ira made a good point last night on this, and that is because Florida State bothered to hit people. So you give them something to think about a little bit.
Sidney Williams is going to come up and hit you, man. Yeah. He might not be the best cover safety in the world, but he'll come up and hit you.
And he might miss a tackle.
But he's coming at you, and if he hits you, you're going backwards. But
there's a suddenness to this defense that didn't exist a year ago.
Mickey Andrews was out there at practice today, and he had some good things to say about the defense. And just talking to him, and that point, we had that conversation about when you start hitting people, it affects their play.
Not just
quarterbacks, but receivers and running backs too. They start to make some business decisions. But if you don't do that, man, it's like a picnic. They just take whatever they want.
Did he say DeLoach remind him of all of Derrick Brooks?
No.
Actually, I'm asking Ira. He talked to Mickey Andrews.
The answer would be no. He didn't say that.
What did he say?
First thing he said when I walked up, 20.
Next year, bro.
20 is an awful lot like 10.
He might be 2-10.
You would have come in here
twice
today.
As good.
Off the air, you'd have been like,
hey,
I'm
Mickey.
Getting worried about Mickey.
Yeah, he said Kalen DeLoach just like Derrick Brooks.
No, I think that we saw some things that we were excited about in camp, which was the front four, translate into being good in a game. I actually kind of like this secondary. I think they're going to get better each game. They were in position to make plays. And they should have had a couple picks, actually. And then I also think that some of our fears came true. I don't think the linebackers are real good. DeLoach plays
despite
hard.
Despite
what Mickey
says.
they're lacking in some areas at linebacker, and we knew that.
We knew that, right?
We knew that.
But at least DeLoach will fill a hole, try to.
And against the run, I like Lundy a lot.
Yeah, so they at least were physical, and DeLoach made some really nice effort plays, including on the ridiculous screen pass call blitz. But they're not going to be great. We know they're not going to be great, but that defensive line could be good enough if they stay healthy that they don't have to be a great
run. Remember this, too, that Notre Dame, I understand, they replaced four of their starting five offensive linemen. They may have had communication issues, I don't know. But Notre Dame is an offensive line factory.
Yeah.
And they have coached the position, recruited the position exceptionally well. So the guys that replace the guys are always good.
And they brought in an All-American.
Yeah. So what I will tell you is...
We finally got Kane Madden to tally, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Was the slingshot there? Did he see the slingshot?
What I will tell you is that most of the offensive lines that Florida State faces not going to be of that pedigree. And so this defensive line, which fared well against that offensive line, especially against the run, and generated a pass rush, is going to have opportunities in some of these other 50-50 games to really take the games over. Let's hope it happens against Wake Forest in a couple of weeks, which is a game we all circled, and still now, to me, feels like the biggest early season game. This game gives you hope. That game would confirm it.
Or rob you of it.
You have got to go win that game. I'm nervous talking about it. They got to go win that game to back up what we saw, because they're going to win the game this weekend. They could go through the motions and they'll win this game.
It'd be nice if they didn't. It's the Wake Forest game where people are going to be like, if you go up there and win, play well, then you got some real momentum.
Well, we all watched Louisville last night. That's a program ready to call it a day.
Yikes.
I don't think Satterfield has much going for him over there right now. Man. That doesn't look like a team who wants to play football.
Bleak.
Yeah, it's a bleak. And Syracuse is ass. Mm. So you've got some wins here, man.
Not a great start for the ACC.
Woo!
I think the
thank God I don't walk around waving the flag for the ACC. It's about Florida State, baby.
You think Florida State and like Virginia Tech probably had the two most impressive opening weekend?
Virginia
games?
Won handily.
Who'd they play?
They covered easily.
It was like
William and Mary.
William and Mary, I think it was.
I mean, of course. Why would Virginia play anybody else but William and Mary?
Let me tell you something. Syracuse would have lost to William and Mary.
Sure.
So I'm just pointing it out there.
But if you're looking from a national scene, like, you know, Herb Street was talking Florida State up. Luganville's been talking Florida State up. Like, you can just see a difference in the way they looked and the way they fought, the way they played, came back, scored 38 on Notre Dame, which never happens. Nobody does that. It's a team that you're excited about, even in a loss, whether the kick goes in or not. It came down to missed kicks or made kicks. I didn't think that was going to happen before the game. And I think when you look at the totality of that game, you have a reason to be genuinely excited about the direction of the program.
The only thing that kind of stinks is I'm not looking forward to what's the conversations about the quarterbacks that we're about to have.
That sounds like a tease into the next.
Yeah, let's talk about it next.
Yeah. Ooh.
There you go. Look at this guy.
Put your phone back next to my.
Serving it up there. Yeah. Go ahead. Make it all static. It doesn't matter if you're going to serve up teases like that. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Yeah, I'm supposed to talk. I forget that we don't have sometimes a little bumper here on the Seminole Headlines 93.3 version.
We don't need a bumper.
We don't need a bumper. We don't. You know, I went back and caught up because I wasn't on the stream there for a second, and now I'm caught up here. There is a sense, a lot of people noted that they're still kind of exhausted from Sunday night. I think we all feel a little bit of that, whether that's because the game ended very late, but also there was an emotional investment. I'm happy to be that kind of exhausted.
And it wasn't just the game, though, man. That whole game was just such a journey because you had, you know, the first game of the Packed House in 2 years. You had the Bobby Bowden tribute, which was awesome. The Marching Chiefs killed. I mean, that was awesome. Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
And then
were you in the stadium for that? I know you were, but did you have your cell phone light up?
I did.
That was
with your dad.
I recorded it.
Oh, look at you.
I've got it here. If you'd like to watch it during the show.
You could put it on our War Chant
YouTube. I could do it right here if you want.
Once you put it on our War Chant YouTube
feed. Well, everybody had access to it. I mean, you guys could have done that live, whatever. I mean,
hey, man, you got to get the likes. You got to get the likes. Yeah, the retweets.
We're trying to get subscriptions up on that thing.
There, you got it. I got it going right here. There it is on the screen.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I have good seats there. You can see that? That's about the 45-yard line.
That is nice.
That's a good spot.
Yeah.
How'd your old man? Did he enjoy it?
He did. He had a good time.
Is he excited?
We could have got a...
Is that going to flag it now on YouTube?
Little Amazing Grace? That won't flag. It was all 3 seconds.
We'll see. We'll see Tom Lang freaking out.
Got that in there.
What's the next game he's coming to? Because I was thinking we could...
except for this weekend. He's going to skip the old Jacksonville State game.
I was just thinking you could take one of... like. one quarter in one of our seats, another quarter in the other one's seats,
and then you guys can come down into the stands
just for a quarter.
He legitimately, so at Horizons at that Friday night thing we did, Stephanie came up and said, "Hey, I'm a member of the Dead Dad Club too." And your dad was like, "What?"
You're like, "What?" He's like, "We're going to talk about our dead dads."
And,
is that what we're doing here?
He's like, "Oh, okay."
And his dad, like, when he was 19.
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, do you not know?" And I had to explain to him, like, "Look, Jeff kind of makes fun of me and Ira for having
lost
our dads."
Which is also not
100%
true.
And he was
100%.
Horrified when I said that. The way I phrased it, he's like, "He does what?" And I'm like, no, actually, we make fun of ourselves, and he just jokes that he loves getting a chance to talk to you, and that's how that's
I just
part
point
of
out that my dad is very much here.
Yeah.
What's funny, though, is
the he embraced me at the end. He gave me a big hug, legitimately.
And kissed you on the head.
And he kissed me in the head as I fell into his arms. It felt really good, actually.
What a moment.
10 years.
A couple of the guys I was talking to at Horizons also were like, they're like, "Wait, that's Jeff's dad?" And we're like, "Yeah, that's Jeff's dad." And they're like, "Hey, we lost our dads, too." Like,
yeah.
All right. You know.
Yeah, he represents the dad doll. He's a dad to all those who need dads.
The oddity was there were perfect strangers who caught wind of this, just started walking up. I kind of felt bad for my dad. He started an avalanche. I mean, and a couple of guys walked up. "Hey, my name is Hank from Kentucky. I lost my dad a year ago. I hear that you give hugs."
Well, yeah, let's have a catch. Oh, I got my catcher's mitt in the truck.
"Can you watch a video with me?"
Yeah.
"My dad would have loved to have seen his grandson."
"Here's your
but
grandson.
You can, here,
yeah,
here's here. Your, don't you love him? Isn't he beautiful?" "He looks just like your dad."
So, yeah, he gets that every week he comes up now.
Yeah. So he won't be here weekend.
But then, you know, they have the whole Mackenzie Milton thing.
Yeah,
you got
that,
the
too,
Dylan
that became the bigger – almost that became a bigger story nationally, I think, than Florida State being close to back or being better, whatever you want to call it. The game itself was Mackenzie Milton, which is cool. It's a great story. It's just we're in it, so we don't appreciate it maybe that the average college football fan, how cool it was to see that.
Yeah, and I was retweeting, like, Chris Doering and, like, UF people who were like, "Hey, man, I don't like anything
really
about Florida State, but this is awesome."
UCF was tweeting, like, the
UCF they
football
did a really good job
tweeted
with it.
A cool thing about it. Yeah, it's neat.
Okay, now I'm ready to move on, though, and because it's going to be like Nick O'Leary. The grandson. It's okay. Mm. I get it. It's about the football. He's here. He's ready to play. And what gets more interesting now is how this gets worked out. Yeah. And it's going to be important. You know, we've all been probably on a lot of different shows. People want to talk about that game. And one of the things that I've kind of fought to clarify, and also for our listeners and for the fan base, it's not like they just swung and missed by not recognizing Mackenzie Milton's ability. That's not how this camp played out. It's not, first of all, they were the ones who tried to woo Mackenzie Milton based on that ability. They definitely brought him in here to play. You don't ask that guy to come over so he can sit the bench. So their intentions were for him to play. But you also then, as you bring both quarterbacks to the ACC kickoff, and you ask that they continue to compete and fight for a job, you cannot let one guy who's out there almost every day and having, I might add, a great camp.
I would not use the word great. But
I thought
Jordan Travis
had a great camp.
He was having a better camp than the guy he was competing with.
Well, wasn't
for,
even close.
For a variety of
wasn't
reasons.
Even close.
One of which being
he was available.
Getting a lot more reps.
Easily a good camp.
Yeah,
not average, not okay.
He
was having a good
very,
camp.
Good, very camp. Good camp. And by the standards of a year ago, took a massive
and
leap forward.
The standards of Florida State quarterback play over the
lately.
Last 5 years.
Yeah, so he had played so much better. Then Mackenzie comes here, and you would like to believe that if he's able to practice as much as he would like to himself and as much as the coaches need him to, that, yeah, he might end up winning the job. But it wasn't like the coaches were watching these two guys every day in practice, and they were dead even, and they went, "Oh, let's go with Jordan." That didn't happen. And I'm trying to explain to people, while being delicate about the time missed from Mackenzie, about the reasons why with load management and whatever else, that it wasn't so simple. You can't just say, "Well, thanks for competing, even though this is pretty obvious to everybody what happened here in camp. I'm going to go ahead and start this other guy," because you'll lose these other players.
Yeah, there's nobody. I didn't hear one person around the program over the last month say Mackenzie Milton need to be the starter.
Now
here we are, though.
Here we are.
Here we
have
here
arrived,
we are.
And there's two things at play that are also true. And that is that when Mackenzie Milton got in there, there's no question the passing game, the drop-back passing game improves immediately.
Right.
His decision-making, how quick he gets the ball out of his hand, he makes up for an average arm with that quick release, and I think he just understands what he's looking at from the pocket. And, sadly, Jordan didn't look appreciably better from the pocket than he did a year ago. He looked uneasy, uncomfortable, at times, really kind of ran when he didn't have to. There were rare moments that there was a pocket. He wouldn't climb it. So now you do have a dilemma in the sense that, okay, I got a guy that when the lights came on could really operate as a passer. What do they have to see from him week to week in practice? Can it be a thing where he, you know, he's very limited in practice, but they just trust that when the games start, he's going to play well? Or does he have to be available to them during install to make sure that he's getting the requisite reps to be the starting quarterback? I wonder.
I mean, well, every indication right now is he's able to practice. I mean, we were out there today. They were both out there practicing, so everything's fine from that standpoint. And that's a good sign. He did get tackled, and he was able to practice a couple days later. That's a good sign. But I think it's there's a couple things I do want to bring up about that game before we move forward. This was a season opener that, and I wrote about it on the site, that Notre Dame had all offseason to prepare for. And that's a different animal than when you face a team during the regular season. And they had a new defensive coordinator, and you're going up against a kid that really ran the ball well against you last year. And they've got more, they know more about Mike Norvell and this offense and Jordan Travis than Florida State knew what Notre Dame was going to be doing because they have a new coordinator. And I really think whoever started at quarterback was probably going to have a tough time in that game. The one thing to remember is Mackenzie Milton.
At least
got
early
it
on.
Yeah.
Like Devontae Love Taylor said yesterday on Trench Talk, War Chant, they saw some things. And I think Norvell even said that afterwards. They did some things that they hadn't prepared for at all. They hadn't seen it all on film.
Mm-hmm.
And that was confusing the line.
First games do that to coaches all the time.
Confusing the line, so confusing the coordinators, confusing the quarterback.
So that didn't help. And then you get the pressure that I'm sure Jordan Travis feels, knowing that, man, a lot of people in those stands want to see the other guy in the game. And so now you get game pressure and all that. So I just want to put that out there that this was – I think you're going to see Jordan Travis play better, because what people are coming to us with is, what the hell were you guys talking about? He looks like the same guy that we saw in the past. Number one, I would say he doesn't. I thought he threw the ball – the pass to Parchment he doesn't make last year. The pass to Ja'Kai Douglas he probably doesn't make last year. So I think he was better, even all that considered. But I think you're going to see him play better in general anyway. And I think the thing you got to remember about Mackenzie Milton is it's a big – difference putting him in for a couple series where he threw five passes versus saying, hey man, now start the game on that leg that we don't know how it's gonna, when you get rolled into
and with this offensive line,
with this offensive line, you're gonna be able to move all,
so I'm
escape
not
all that
campaigning for Jordan Travis. I just think it's a lot more complicated than, hey, we've got this guy and this
well
guy.
It's always more nuanced. The greater discussion is more nuanced there. I do think if he's healthy and able to rep, he'll be the starting quarterback. Mackenzie Milton, that is. I do think he will be. Now there are going to be games where that with this offensive
you think this
line,
week
I don't know about this week. I mean, probably. If
I think I think this week, whoever starts, I think it's I think it'll probably be the tryout for
yeah,
Wake Forest.
They're both going to play. We both know that.
Yeah, they'll both play, and whoever looks the best, or if McKenzie looks like he did and holds up, I think you go into Wake Forest probably with him as your starter. And you, again, it's Jacksonville State, so it's hard to know, but if you can run the ball like you did with Mackenzie Milton at quarterback, that's what surprised me.
But again, at that point that he
they
comes in,
off.
they backed off. They're up 18.
But they backed off because they also backed off because Mackenzie Milton was in the game.
Yeah,
like
sure.
You know what I mean? So that gives you an extra, like, it works both ways. Like, I think the running backs had some seams and some holes because a lot of attention was focused on Jordan Travis.
Early on, just like all of last year with the running game.
And then Mackenzie Milton comes in and they have to back off, and that opens up some lanes and some holes. So they both, it was encouraging to see that they could run the ball. I mean, I think in his last two drives, he might have completed one pass. Like, it was all run. That was very encouraging to see moving forward, that no matter who the I thought if they were going to run for 300 yards or close to it against Notre Dame, number one, I would have never dreamed that.
Jordan would have
had a half of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jordan had 9 yards rushing. And they had 268.
Yeah, well, we factor in sacks and stuff like that. Yeah. You know,
but he had one run.
He had the one run,
and that was his last play of the game. Like, he didn't really do anything with his legs other than the escape to find Parchment.
And I think, you know, you got to give some of that credit to Notre Dame, and they got him out of sorts. I mean, I'm not saying Jordan played well. He did not play well.
I'm just saying
that it was a unique situation, and I get it. People aren't going to buy that because they only know what they saw last year. But spring happened and camp happened. He's just got to translate it to Saturdays and calm down.
I think, and I want to see that happen because I know how hard he's worked, but he never seems to play in rhythm in the passing game. You know, there's just no drop back foot hits the ground, ball comes out.
Yeah.
I got to see that from Jordan, and hopefully we will. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Are you tailoring offense that it's not around that? Like, I didn't think he played well at all, really. I didn't think he played nearly as well as he could have, and I made this point. They still put up 28 points and had him at midfield in the fourth quarter. Like, 3 years ago, think about what, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, 28 points against Notre Dame was not happening. They weren't close to it. They couldn't have done it.
Yeah, they had like 340 yards of offense and 28 points. with like 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
And he didn't play well. He didn't play overly well. So that he had, it was 9 of 19 with 3 picks. So imagine him playing a little bit better, what that would mean. But yes, I do think, I think McKenzie sees it quicker, which is more, that's the thing more than anything, right? He sees it better and quicker. That's it. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, he's, if he's healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks
but
in the country.
But you have to keep Jordan Travis involved, engaged, and in part of the game plan as well.
Well, that's the thing. You just look at the sideline, and my man's got a massager on his leg during a game to try to keep the blood flow, whatever they have to do to keep, and people are acting like, hey, man, why don't you just throw him out there?
No, it's precarious,
We don't know that he can play 70 snaps of football. I mean, we don't know.
And a lot of people are going to ask that question. Like, you played, you know, you're 5 of 7, and we're over here worried about your leg already and in limited action. It is disconcerting. And so I think it's going to be a fluid situation all season long, no matter what fans want. Yeah. They're going to have to monitor it series by series, which is less than ideal, but all right, we'll see. You're also not going to be playing Notre Dame every week. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Good to be back. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. It is Seminole Headlines. Man. You're right. I don't want to see this debate rage on for weeks on end.
And can I just one more thing on
this?
Here
we go.
All right, this is a old man lecturing the young people. And I don't know how many students listen to Seminole Headlines, but if you do, spread the word.
Probably a lot. Probably
spread the word. You can't boo Jordan Travis. And I had a couple of people tell me that
did somebody boo them?
That's what a couple of people
told me. I did not hear that.
I know. And I've heard differing viewpoints. Some people said no. I've had a few people tell me that they did hear boos. Just say this, and the person that made the comment to me from within the program was like, look, man, that didn't work well for James Blackman. Like, that doesn't help. And so what happens is the fans are booing a decision. They're not necessarily booing the kid. They're booing, hey, that's not who we want in the game, and we're trying to let you know.
Yeah, circumstantial. Yeah.
It's not going to change the coach's opinion. And all it does is, I mean, it can affect a kid. So I'm not saying it has affected him. I'm not saying he heard it. I'm just saying – that's not what you need to do.
I'll say this as somebody in the stands for the game. I never heard it. Okay. So I've it had to have been a smattering. So I did not hear it at all.
And I would feel like if he was booed, it was probably on the the boos probably came after the fourth down interception. It couldn't have been like, I can't even envision a scenario where it became before that. And on the fourth down interception, I truly think you're booing the fact that you went for it on fourth down and it didn't work out and you just gave them the ball at your 33, not get this slappy out of here quarterback. I could be wrong.
But also the problem is if you do boo on offense, how does the quarterback know who it is?
Sure.
The end was awful.
But he wasn't this guy. And we can say don't boo him. You shouldn't boo him. But I don't know who did. I don't know if it was students. I hope it wasn't boosters.
We're gonna come find him.
Yeah. But because that's Devin's brother. Don't boo Devin's family. Exactly. That's Devin's blood. But he responded well. His last drive was a touchdown, and then he had him out to the 50 again. So it wasn't like. Unlike, say, the last quarterback, didn't spiral into goo. He actually – remember Felipe Franks, like when he scored the touchdown?
And taunted his own fans?
He shushed his own crowd.
Yeah.
He shushed Gator fans.
I do think they're going to need both guys. I mean, that's what we've
– 100%.
And so I think the quicker fans get their minds wrapped around that and support both of them and hope that the coaching staff can figure out a way to use both of them to their strengths, that's going to be the best situation. I don't think you can expect either one of
these
guys.
And I made this analogy, Jeff. I know you're about to say something, but it's time
really
for
care.
Me. Yeah. You got shows
I'm
all the
fine.
Time.
Yeah, I'm tired of doing shows.
I made this analogy about Javi Baez.
Uh-huh.
He's a productive baseball player, right? He's a productive major league hitter. But he can be pretty maddening to watch a lot of the times. He'll swing at balls
that are bouncing,
that go over the net.
Yeah.
Tom knows. He's a Mets fan.
Yeah.
A pitcher will bounce one. It'll be like a highlight roll or something, and he'll swing at one that doesn't even get to the dirt. But he also finishes the season with 33 homers and 100 RBIs, and you can't say he's not a productive baseball player.
Right.
Does Jordan Travis have some of that in him where he can look Javi Baez-ish at times? But he still put up 28 points and had 3 touchdowns against Notre Dame.
But you just can't run your offense right now with him. If your offense is a drop back passing offense at all, you just that element is not there for him.
Right.
And I think that, yes, you can get away with it here and there. It's like having those days where you're going to go, he's going to go 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts, and you're going to be like, man, that's not going to help us win games.
Yeah.
Jordan's going to have games where there's nothing in the passing game but him running around.
I would say it's more like,
what's the problem?
He goes 2 for 5 with 3 strikeouts, a home run, and a double. Like, is that?
Well, I'd take that all day
long.
Well,
sure you would, but the 3 strikeouts might come with the bases loaded. Like, it's all about context, but he seems like a really, like, you know, he led 4 touchdown drives.
It's feast or famine, but I think it's going to be that way with either one of those guys because of the offensive line issues.
I think the difference is we haven't yet seen it yet with Milton, and we have seen it for 6 games, only 6 games now with Jordan. 2 of his 6 games have been against Notre Dame.
Because part of the problem is the pass protection. If you get in second and long or third and long, they have no chance.
Yeah.
Well, they have not been able to.
That's not going to change depending on who the quarterback is.
No, but the ways of mitigating that rush are very different for the two quarterbacks.
Yes.
One will pre-snap and know exactly where he's going now, and the rush won't get there because it's going to be out of his hand. Now, you may be really short of the first down, but he's not going to sit there and wait to get hit. And the other way that it's combated is that Jordan's going to make that guy miss. And then he breaks contain, and who knows? We may have a miracle play. James writes and gave us a tip. Appreciate that, James.
Here you go, James.
But I think this is pertinent to the two quarterbacks here because I think one of the answers involves Jordan Travis. Hello, fellas. What is going to be the miracle cure for stopping procedure in the ongoing offensive penalties? 2 illegal downfield calls this game. It's been 4 years, 4 staffs, and the problem still persists. The illegal man downfield stuff, that's going to happen a lot with Jordan Travis.
Because they think he's running.
Well, because he is.
He does
he's
run.
He's running
sometimes
around all damn day. You're going to go. You're taught to hit somebody, not just stand there. And so those guys, that's any quarterback that runs, by the way. That happens in the NFL as well. But that's a big part of who he is. You're going to get those calls because he's running around trying to make something happen. I think you'll see fewer of the illegal man downfield calls when McKenzie Milton's at quarterback.
The false starts, though, they have one on a receiver. That can't ever happen.
That can never happen.
I never got to see the good replay.
It was Pokey coming on that wide receiver screen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we didn't see Pokey again after that.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine that's it. But, you know, I'm assuming he got banged up. But they also had some on the offensive line as well. You had a center infraction, which you don't see very often.
Yeah, 2 false starts and a center infraction. That's not great. It's not great.
Well, and they can't overcome it. Again, like going back to the Jameis days, that was the only time since I've covered Florida State, honestly, the last 20 years, that
it didn't matter. It almost made it more
matter.
Fun.
It made it more of a challenge. At all. But for most quarterbacks, it does matter.
I do want to address a misnomer, too. It's a commonly held belief by fans, and it's just statistically not accurate. They'll talk about their team if they commit penalties as, you know, they talk about the self-inflicted wounds. It's just something that you can't overcome. Oh, no. Offensive, dominant teams are oftentimes the most penalized teams in the country, and they overcome it on the regular. Florida State, during its heyday, was one of the top 10, top 20 most penalized teams in the country. So was Miami.
Took pride
in it. So was Florida when they were good. Dude, teams like elite teams commit penalties all the time and overcome it. It's not a direct correlation to winning and losing games.
No, it's just the problem when you're not an elite team.
When you're not an elite team and you create more problems for yourself, yes. But people will say, you just can't overcome that. And also, I'll hear people say this, good teams don't do that. Nonsense. Good teams do that all the time. Yeah. They just are good enough to overcome it.
Yeah, you definitely can live with it if you're a better team. But that's where, like, when you watch Mike Norvell and the way they practice, which we get to, thankfully, they emphasize avoiding those penalties and special teams because he's trying to find anything he can.
Yeah, the hidden yards,
any scraps he
can
get because he knows he can't just line up and beat people.
So the snapping issues.
Yeah. Hey, they came to fruition like what we had talked about in camp. Reared their ugly head at really inopportune time.
It happened all the time in
camp.
I've
never seen, and Maurice Smith was clearly not right.
He was banged up.
He tried to play and couldn't, but that first half snap that was like a DeGrom slider. I've never seen a snap like that in my life. Like, usually they're either above your head or at your feet, not 2 feet to the right. I don't even know physically if there's the window between his legs.
How did he get it that far?
I guess TV said he's been dealing with and Mike Norvell does not talk about injuries, but I guess on TV they said he'd been dealing with a back issue.
Yeah, and that was his last play, I think, of the game.
I mean, just think of, you know, thankfully I've never had like major back problems,
it's a big deal.
There's a couple times where my back didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And that
imagine playing
sucks.
That
imagine playing
position.
Football in that position. I think it would make you snap in a lot of weird ways.
Have to remedy this because this can't continue. Yeah. And by the way, they're not immune to it when Babyon's in there. Immune to it. This is an ongoing problem. That's not coaching, folks. Nobody's teaching them to snap it the way that they are, and they do try to correct it.
I will say this.
They may not have a guy.
We watch those quarterbacks when they do warm-ups. They have that net with the three squares, and they're trying to throw it in that middle square, the top square, the bottom square. I wouldn't mind doing that with my centers. Turn your butt around and try to snap it in the middle of that net every time. Do it 100 times in a row, and then you can go eat.
And then welcome those back pains because you're going to be doing 100 snaps.
It's fine. But, yeah, the one regret I have from that game is I really would have liked to seen what he did on that third down play. I think there's a chance they win the game. We'll always wonder because there's a chance there's some magic in the air and they win that game on that play.
I'd like to argue that they very well might have. Yes,
and I think the best play he made was the throw to Keyshawn. I still don't understand how he saw it and made that throw down to the five. But the second best play he made was that play to pick up that ball and have the wherewithal to throw it away like that. Was a 23-year-old veteran. Great play to make, and he's not 100% healthy.
And somebody came at me on Twitter because I tweeted it was a great play, and somebody was like, "Oh, your standards for quarterbacks has gotten really low if that's a great play." And it's like, look, man, yeah, I just know that a lot of other quarterbacks would have either just dove on it or
turned it into
a bigger mistake.
Stood up and tried to make three guys miss and come out of
the pocket.
He did
exactly what you want to do as a veteran quarterback, which he is.
Similar headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Turns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Simple headlines rolling on here, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, and of course, War Chant TV. And guys, a lot of people here today.
What about my man Trayshawn? He's got some stuff to him.
Yeah. Our man Trayshawn.
He's our man. Yeah, he's our man Trayshawn. Hey. He's got some stuff to him, man. Like that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Toa Feely because I still think he's got a lot of potential.
He's got promise,
but Corbin and him
are going to get the vast majority of those carries. Jayshon,
Trayshawn.
Yeah.
The Shawns.
I said Sean gone. The Sean gone backfield? What do you think about that? Like instead of Sean John.
I knew this
John,
was coming. I knew that we were going to have
Instead of Sean
get...
John, it's Sean gone because they're gone on so many long runs. The Sean gone backfield?
Okay, I'm going to say this.
I'm going to say no.
It's better than the Seagulls.
Yeah, the reach for the web.
Yeah, the web toe.
Yeah, that was a reach.
Sean Gone's better. It plays on their names a little more, but
let's keep working on it.
Okay, I'll go back to the lab.
Yeah, well, you're good at these.
Yeah, it's not my best effort. I think there's something better out there.
I'm giving you credit here. You're much better at this than that.
Thank you. You have a higher standard. I got you.
Yeah, fine. I hold you to a higher standard.
And I apologize to you guys. Yeah. That was for the listeners.
Let's work on it. Maybe it'll hit you when they both score against Jacksonville State or something. Yeah. Or maybe when we're all at the Wake. Are we all still going to the Wake Forest game?
Well, I'm going.
Let's go.
I'm in.
You're not going. You've never been to Wake.
I've never been to Wake.
Yeah, and we actually. At the meetup at Hit Horizons the other night, I met some friends who were from North Carolina.
Winston-Salem?
They said they're going to be there with us on the hill.
So we're actually going to go sit on the hill.
I would love to sit on the hill. He won't let us. He will not want to do it, I'm sure. He's saying it now, but he would not want to do it.
We're going to rally the troops. We're going to be up in the press box.
We don't need to be in the press box. Let's just be on the hill.
I've never been to Wake Forest. I'm not saying that it's been a lifelong dream, but I am saying that I would like to check it out. It's on the list. I mean, I've been everywhere else in the ACC. I just haven't gone to Wake.
Yeah. It's a nice little stadium for what it is. The fair's across. The fair's a little bit
fair's
down the
really
road.
Active, just like NC State.
Yeah, they got
fair's
their own little
always
fair.
In town.
It's cool, man. It's cool. That little hill's, that's nice.
What if we get up there on a Friday night? What are the watering holes like, guys?
Good question. We usually stay in Greensboro, though, so I don't know.
Trivia about Winston-Salem. That's where Krispy Kreme was founded.
There you go.
What about that, Ira? What do you think about that?
It works.
But either way, I thought Trayshawn and Jayshawn, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, but that, you know, Corbin's a different dude, clearly, than he was at the beginning of last year. That was some burst. That was some speed. He ran hard. He got the drive that they made at 38-28, he had a really tough run on fourth down to get them that. That's the stuff that I think gets overlooked in games like that, but that's just a great run for 2 yards. He's a good running back, it would appear. And Trayshawn Ward is a little, bottle of lightning.
Fire plug.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job of not letting him break a long one. But, I think Trayshawn, to me, is a guy that could go the distance. I did not know that Jayshawn could do that.
Yeah.
It helped that they had, 10 guys up the line of scrimmage.
I want to point out that a couple, well, in particular, Glenn would like
how
us to focus
Trayshawn, on. Trayshawn to the limo?
We'll see.
Okay, sorry.
Glenn wants us to focus on Jacksonville State. Glenn, I'll answer your question. He wrote, can we focus on Jacksonville State? No,
mm-mm.
No.
Sorry,
this ain't going to be for you today. No, we're not going to focus on Jacksonville
State
at all.
But the team will. I will say this. We were out of practice today. They're already doing.
And if that's your question, I'm sure they will, but not these three guys.
Yeah, no.
No, we're not doing it.
They're already doing their scout team stuff for Jacksonville State. They're taking it seriously. Got to get their first win. Can't overlook anybody. But, yeah, we're not going
to. Well, and they were down to them last year at the half. 21-14.
Mm-hmm.
So you would hope
still not going to focus on
you. No, we're not. But no. You would hope they would take them a little more seriously than maybe three middle-aged sports hosts.
When it's in the second quarter, if it's like 7-7, people are going to be tweeting.
I don't
it
care.
Up.
I still won't
Glenn
focus on
you guys. Were
there's
looking
a chance.
Past
there's
them.
A chance I'm not watching the game at that point. Who cares? No, I'm kidding. I'll watch
right,
the game.
Sure.
I mean, at some point, I'll watch the game.
And it would be nice. It would be nice. I get why they might not, but it would be nice if they went out and were up by 30 at half.
It'd be really nice, but I'm not going to be down on them if they don't.
No, but yes.
They just played
but
a,
it'd be a
physical
nice
and emotionally draining game. It's normal for people, human nature, to have letdown. Now, it's a business. You got to go out there and work.
Yeah.
You got to do what you're supposed to do. But
you also, but you, one nice thing about this team is you do have a lot of dudes who, this is, they only have 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of these.
There's nobody
know,
on this team that's proven jack squat, really, except for the back, well, the
we'll
co-starting
quarterback. Yeah.
Nobody else has really done anything in college of note. So, yeah, they should all be itching, chomping at the bit.
Here's
as I
what
like
I will
say.
Want to see in the Jacksonville State game because there will be opportunities. I want to see the linebackers play better, and I want to see tight ends get involved in this football game.
Yeah.
They were irrelevant in the last football game. I'd like to see them. I mean, that, it's not a great room. They got to recruit
it's
their
deep.
Way out of that. They
deep.
It is very deep. I mean, it is. It's 11 deep.
It's not a. It's just not a real talented room. But I'd like to see them get involved.
Yeah.
And they got opportunities this weekend. And then I guess obviously the receivers should have more of an opportunity.
Well, we don't know. Notre Dame's sole focus this offseason might have been taking the FSU tight ends away. So we'll see when they go up against a different type of defense. But yeah, it's so that's such a tough team to open up with. It's not Alabama tough, but that's a really good defensive line. I think that Notre Dame has. And that safety is ridiculous.
He's
really good.
He's really good.
From Atlanta, from the 404, Marist.
That range, by the way, woo, woo.
It's like Andrew Jones tracking down a double in the gap.
You know, I was so happy he took his helmet off when he did because I knew that it was going to help Florida State. But when I watched it, I was in awe. I mean, I love the position. And watching that come across the field, I thought, that's impossible.
I was convinced there's no way he's in bounds. Like, when they called
right.
him in bounds, I'm like, there's no way.
Easily
there's
in bounds.
No way he covered that much ground, caught the ball.
And then he was easily in bounds.
And he was like, yeah.
He had his helmet off before, like, the play was, like, he was still sliding and his helmet was off.
Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with. We'll get to your questions in a moment.